Okay, as I said, my name's Steve. I have the privilege of being able to preach here occasionally. And let's pray before I do so. Our great Father, we thank you for your words to us, your eternal word, for these eyewitnesses to you, and for your ongoing testimony to your church through them, Lord. We pray today we may be greatly blessed and nourished as you speak to us. Amen. Well, I'd like to play for you one of my favourite movie lines. Is it playing? Let's see if I can get it to go. Maybe I'll get you to do it manually. Oh, it's not there. That's the quote. We don't have the video. That's a pity. There he is. Dirty Harry. Dirty Harry from the 1970s. There it is. There we finally have it. Okay, he's walking off. All right. It is such an applicable saying, isn't it? Doesn't matter who you are. What gender you are, it is just, you see, when I joined the men's shed to go and do some woodwork, I knew that when it came to out making anything out of wood, I was limited, so I knew my limitations, so I stuck to what I was capable of. What I didn't realise was just how limited my skills were when it came to painting wood. Ask Esther about how, when I was not looking, that people would come around to laugh at my paintwork. At age 18, I knew my limitations when it came to choosing a trade. I couldn't make stuff out of wood or metal. I couldn't do anything that was going to require me to create beauty. So I became an electrician because I could. It was already beautiful. The appliance was already beautiful. I could tuck away anything ugly behind a wall and nobody would know. This is what you should desire as a tradie. It's often badly missing nowadays. It's a desire to take pride in your workmanship. And that begins with choosing the best quality materials. If I could have been, I would have been a carpenter. I love beautiful pieces of furniture. I love the texture of beautiful wood. Imagine quality timber going into remaking something, a building perhaps, a beautiful building. Stone, beautiful stone in some of those old buildings we see. Furniture, maintaining their strength and their beauty for years and years to come. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, we have God the master builder, who takes pride in his work and as a master builder, of course, has no limitations and has a limitless budget, who begins to build a new temple and invites us to look at his beautiful stonework, the cornerstone, precious to him, precious to us, the essential stone around which all of the rest of the building would take its line and take its strength and rise. The work of God for us and for himself begins with this precious cornerstone that he has laid down. See, I lay a stone in Zion, which is another way of saying Jerusalem, because it was built on Mount Zion, a precious, chosen, precious cornerstone, and he invites us to trust in this cornerstone. If you do so, you will be never put to shame. In other words, if you associate yourself with this cornerstone by being joined to this spiritual house, you will never be ashamed from this association. When you believe the gospel, Christ becomes as precious to you as a believer as the stone is to God. The world, says this passage, is blind to his beauty. They have rejected him. People will happily talk about God. You can get in any sort of generic conversation with all sorts of people about God. If they have a vague idea of God or a vague belief in God, but what they are not happy to, who they are not happy to talk about, is Jesus. Because Jesus challenges our self-sufficiency. No one wants to admit that they need help to get to heaven. Jesus says to us, I am the only way to the Father. You are incapable without me. And the world does not like to hear that. The world is blind to his beauty, but not us. We see him as God sees him. Consider this. Because of the chosen acceptable rock, we are chosen acceptable stones. The old temple was sullied by the corruptness of the priesthood. Now God creates a high quality temple, a high quality priesthood, a holy priesthood, making us both temple and priests. What a strange thing. Because of the chosen acceptable rock, we are chosen acceptable stones. Because he is precious, we are God's special possession. Because of his sacrifice, we can offer sacrifice. Because of his sacrifice, both we and our sacrifices are acceptable. Without him, that cannot be. Consider the ways that we are described here as a result of Jesus. Living stones, a spiritual house, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Think of yourself that way. The next time you think God doesn't like you, recall these verses. Can I have the next slide? This is the work of God in us. These things are the work of God in us. Once upon a time, he ordered a temple to be built. This is a guess at what Solomon's temple looked like. One estimate is that today's money would cost about $2 billion to create. Thousands of tons of gold, cedar, the best cedar from Lebanon, white limestone, and yet it was corrupted by the nation and by the priesthood, and it was swept away. Even the second temple and the third temple swept away because God is making something far more eternal, far more precious to him. His concern for architecture is spiritual. We are being built around Jesus. And note how often there is imagery in the New Testament surrounding us as church. It all focuses on Jesus. We are his body. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 1, and Colossians 1, we are his body. We are his bride, Ephesians 5 and 2 Corinthians 11, Revelation chapter 19. And here in 1 Peter, we are a spiritual house built upon him. This is the work of God for us in Jesus. Now consider the work of God in us, all through and because of Jesus. As priests, Peter tells us, we offer spiritual sacrifices. Now, you know how the other week I talked about how we've gotten used to what communion is and we don't really take much notice of the words. But really, think about sacrifice, what it's really harking back to. You can talk about making sacrifices for your career, for your family, but go back to the original the idea of sacrifice and just dwell on that. It's You think of evil witch doctors and chickens. You think of Mayan blood sacrifices. If you read your Old Testament, you might think of the sacrificial lamb. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never done any of those things. I'm quite grateful that, you know, when I went to a college, a Christian college, whether it was on a farm and they, you know, come and have a look at the killing of the sheep, no thank you very much. Not interested in the shedding of blood. So what does Peter mean for us when he talks about spiritual offerings, spiritual sacrifices that we offer? Now, one clue is in verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. This is what Israel was meant to be in the Old Testament. They were meant to be a light to the nations. People were supposed to look at them and go, how do these people function? What is so great about them? Why are they so prosperous? Why are they a happy people? Why are they such a socially just people? What a place to go and visit. What a place to go and live. I want to move there. But they failed. They were meant to be a witness to the goodness and trustworthiness of God. The law that he gave them was meant, which actually governed every aspect of their life, was meant to guide them in how to love God and to show his praises. How you kept your farm, what you did with as you harvested, was meant to glorify God. It was meant to love your neighbour, but for the purpose of glorifying God. You can't separate the two, but one flows out of the other. And Romans 12 applies this to Christians. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. No part of life is not attached to worship. Everything that we do, work, leisure, relationships, as we honour him, our worship. As we are motivated in how we do those things, how we live our very lives every day is motivated by that. Which is what Peter is going to go on. Santa gave us a little tiny preview of that. Peter is going to proceed now to unpack in the next part of the chapter, how does that look in your everyday life? Yet this worship sacrifice of our lives proceeds, I think, out of something far more fundamental in worship. All worship begins with valuing God above all else. It is why Jesus says all commandments hang upon the first commandment and the second commandment. The greatest commandment, which is even above the second greatest, is to love the Lord your God with everything. Everything else proceeds from that. All worship proceeds from that. All worship is motivated by that. Rather than behaving a certain way out of gratitude or guilt, behave a certain way, live a certain way because you love God, because he is worth it, because he is so beautiful. And God wants us to delight in him. Christ is precious to us as he is to God. This cornerstone has become precious to those who believe. Verse 9, we are therefore declaring our praises of God. God wants us to delight in him. Psalms 1, 37 and 43 speak of this, and elsewhere. You can do a Google search on the ways in which the Bible talks about our motivation, our desire to love God and delight in him. Surely this is what loving him means, to take delight in him. He is beautiful. And our cornerstone is beautiful. And we are happy to be associated with that cornerstone and to be built around him. And as the temple must have once echoed with beautiful praise in the Psalms of David, imagine ourselves as a church resounding, the building resounding to the praise of our great God. not simply because of what he has done for us, but because of who he is. I printed out some things the other week. I hope there's still a copy or two there. I can do another, some more about how to live that out in your life, how to delight in God because he is worth it. Offer these sacrifices for his glory. Having been saved, this is what we can do. Having been saved for his glory, we've now been made priests to glorify him. Because of the chosen, acceptable rock, we are chosen, acceptable stones. Because he is precious, we are God's special possession. Because of his sacrifice, we can offer sacrifices. Sacrifices acceptable because we are acceptable through Christ. Verse 5. Sacrifice not to gain entry to God, but because we already have it. Not to gain favour, because we already have it. This is the work of God for us. This is the work of God in us. Our Master Creator, who has no limitations and who has an unlimited budget, is spending it on Christ and spending it on us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the great privilege of being built upon and around Jesus. Help us to delight in this, to delight in the building process, and to live lives that show just how much we value what you have done for us and in us, but most of all, delighting in who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we may do this. Amen.